Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's podcast. It's the first podcast we've done in a few weeks now. We took some time off, to make this sound better, hopefully. We're now quasi-professional because we got a new microphone. I got a new studio set up here in my closet in Berkeley, California, where I'm coming to you live via the internet, pre-recorded. And I also got a new job in that time. Got a job at a wearable technology company called Fitbit. Naturally, I got a Fitbit for my mom, for my dad, and that is a pretty good setup for where today's episode kicks off. So I hope you guys like it.
Doing great, working on that roast that you were telling us how to do, and it looks like it's going to be really good. It's really good now. It's falling off the bone.
That's what you want.
I know, so I'm excited about that. Oh, and listen, Pops just left to go get a cigar, but he wanted me to ask you how to get his Fitbit to record his sleep. Mine does it automatically, but he can't figure his out.
Well,
I told him how.
I think he just doesn't want to do it.
Well, what do you mean? How'd you tell him to do it? Tell me, and maybe I'll help him.
You kind of drum your two fingers on the top of it, and it'll light up.
Okay, so just drum your fingers on the top.
Yeah, like two fingers.
Well, does he get in the bed before he does it, or can you do it any time?
Literally any time. Anytime you want.
Okay. So he doesn't have to be lying down.
No, that's irrelevant.
Oh, okay, because I told him he had to be lying down and real still to do it.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we've got it working. I mean, mine, it was easy to set up when I realized what I was doing wrong. I hadn't taken the little protective shield off the top of it. So when it would ask me for the numbers, I was putting the numbers that was on the little protective shield rather than take that off. And then when you punch it in, it gives you the numbers.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure dozens of people have made that same mistake.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Well, anybody that's my age, that's a baby boomer, you know. I started to walk across the street and ask Kayla, who's in the second grade, to set it up for me.
She probably would have been great at it.
I know. You know, she does everything on her computer. When I went as her grandma, because I'm the white-haired woman in the neighborhood, they always take me when their grandmother can't come to something. And so I went to Grandmother's Day with her, and everything was on her iPad, and she would say, okay, now, Kathy, we're going to look at my book report. And I would say, well, okay, where is it? And she'd say, well, hold on, and she'd pull it up on her iPad.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I'm blown away by this. But it's so different than even when you and Elaine were in school.
Well, and I noticed, too, the difference in how people interact with technology amongst generations. For instance, I feel that baby boomers assume that the technology itself is broken and that there's something wrong with it, because back in the day, if your washing machine didn't work, the washing machine was broken. Where I grew up playing video games that you would spend hours and hours and hours trying to, like, solve these very simple little tasks and trying to figure it out. So we will tinker with it until we get it right, assuming that the technology is fine, that it's user error. And I'm sure with millennials, it's even more of, they have so many options that if the technology is not working, if Uber's not working for them, they'll just go get a car over on Lyft.
Oh, right. Yeah, see, mine is, when I can't get it to work, I just call you.
Right, which...
and ask you, like, okay, what's up? I remember, Butler, when I called you about I couldn't get my Uber app to work.
Yes. Yeah. Because you couldn't figure out how to take the photo of the credit card.
Well, the thing, I had gotten a new American Express card, and so it said I had to enter my new card. And so that's when I called you, and I said, well, how do I put a card into this phone for it to remember? And you said, scan it. And so I kept trying to scan it, and I said, well, Butler, it's not scanning. And you said, well, take a picture of it, Mom. And so I kept saying, well, I'm trying to, Butler, but this light's in my eyes.
Yeah, you're basically taking a selfie with the credit card.
I know. So that's when I knew. And you said, turn it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it worked. But, look, I don't know, Butler. I need to call Uber again and see if it's working. But we are so different. But the best of that one, remember we had spent how long on the phone, you trying to help me with that?
Like an hour.
Uh-huh, like an hour on the phone trying to do it. And I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, I got to get up in the morning and go do that presentation to a company about generational differences in the workplace.
Yeah.
But that is a big difference in the workplace is the technology.
Well, and I did notice that. And, like, Pop is infamous for getting really mad at like iPhones or any bit of technology, assuming that it has failed him.
Well, what Pop does is he starts, instead of tapping something, he starts beating on it.
Yeah, his is 90% of the time user error.
Yeah, uh-huh. He just starts beating on it. But, you know, baby boomers, we're so used to, and also, I was thinking about this, baby boomers, we're used to having people assist us and help us with things.
Like how so? Like secretaries and things of that nature?
Yeah.
In the workplace?
I don't want to go back to Mad Men here, but, you know, especially the male population of the baby boom era, they had the secretaries, the assistants, that would always just wait on them hand and foot.
Well, that's a good point. I remember at one of my jobs in Dallas, it was time to, we had more people, so we needed some type of multi-line phone system. And everyone but the owner, who was your generation, thought that some automated phone system would be great, to where you just call in and then it you know, to reach so-and-so, press 1, so-and-so, press 2. We're like, oh, that's great. It saves so much time. But the baby boomer was really adamant of, we need a receptionist. We need this personal answer the phone. Where the rest of us were like, that's just an extra step. That's a waste of my time.
I know, but we baby boomers go back to that of having that person on the phone to answer it and then to say, so-and-so's calling. Do you want to accept this call? You know, do you want to take the call? Do you want me to transfer it to your office? That's what we're we were used to.
Yeah, we're more like, well, there's caller ID. I can see it right there. I don't want to talk to them. I'll just put it to the voicemail.
And baby boomers find that very impersonal.
Yeah.
You know, like that's we need someone on the line. We need somebody to talk to. But the, when you go back to the baby boomers going into this, I was noticing in the question and answer when I was talking about generational differences, they were saying that millennials are coming into the workplace really needy, wanting, you know, because they grew up with their parents really being hands-on and helping them with everything. So they come into the workplace with the attitude of who's going to help me. And I thought, but wait a minute, we baby boomers are doing that to Gen Xers and millennials with technology.
It is a bit of a circle.
Yeah, the minute we open our iPad, we say, okay, would one of y'all come in here and help me with that? So it's kind of gone into a circle, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, we're always calling on y'all to do it, you know? When I remember I always wanted somebody, you know, to help me with any kind of computer thing. And it's not that it's not that I don't like to learn. I'm actually scared of it in a lot of ways.
And my attitude is, what's there to be scared of?
that I'll mess it up. And like, okay, I love the Fitbit you gave me. I am crazy about it. But then sometimes I kind of get freaked out. I want to go, how do you know how many steps I'm taking and when I'm asleep? You know, I'm like, who's out there? I mean, like, and I keep thinking somebody's going to call me from Fitbit and go, Kathy, congratulations, you just got the marathon badge.
No, you know? No, we have. There are too many millions in the user base to ever call you.
Yeah, I keep thinking, I know somebody's going to walk into Butler's office and go, hey, Butler, guess what? Your mom just got the marathon badge.
Yeah, we have no idea. It is all algorithms and programming and, yeah, accelerometers, knowing how many steps you've taken.
But it's just the difference in, you know, how we think, the one-on-one personal, because we baby boomers can remember picking up a telephone and saying, and the operator saying, number please, and you would say 3128, and then the operator would go, just a minute, and then she would ring them.
But why is it then, so what's interesting is we have sort of baby boomers who remember how it was, we have millennials that just know how it is. But my generation is stuck in the middle, and I feel as though Gen Xers have been able to transition from picking up the phone to call information or picking up a book to learn something. And, like, for instance, in any problem I face, whether it's the other day I had a car issue, and then the day before I wanted to know how to break down a rabbit to cook it, I just turned to YouTube. So I feel as though Gen Xers have been able to transition from that old modality of thinking to reliance more on technology and YouTube without as much difficulty.
Well, I think it boils down to we baby boomers really were that generation that was, we've always been kind of the big, bold, brash generation, the pampered generation, and our generation's used to always having people help us. You know, I'm not saying the 1960s were the greatest. Everybody goes, oh, the 1950s, the 1960s were such good times to live in. Well, yeah, if you were white male, they were great. But, you know, if you were minority or female, it was pretty much a struggle. But there was a lot of assistance that we got from secretaries and help and all that. And so we're pampered.
But with Gen Xers, is it that they had to learn technology in real time?
But not just learn technology. See, millennials were, you know, they're the most overparenting generation to ever come along, so they're pampered. But think about your generation. Your generation, the Gen Xers, your generation were the first generation not to have parents. You're the latchkey kids, so y'all are very resilient. You're adaptable. You're flexible. You're independent. You're self-reliant. You know how to get things done on your own. So when you don't know something, you use your brain to go out and figure out how to do it. You know how to Google it or how to pick up a manual and read about it or whatever.
So bring it back to kind of the tech portion of it. Is that why, for instance, we were the ones that were tinkering with computers, learning how to use these machines, how to, you know, make them do whatever, and, you know, made that transition pretty seamlessly? Millennials, of course, we know, were born into, you know, the world of technology and computers, never had anything different. So maybe we were sort of the right generation to embrace, like, emerging technologies at the time.
Well, yeah, and you're we call y'all an independent generation that you rely on yourself to figure it out. So you sit down with technology and you go, hey, it's me and you, and I'm going to figure you out.
Yeah.
You're bringing in that same attitude, I think. And I do think, your generation is just more adaptable to new things too.
Whereas baby boomers, it was forced upon you.
It was forced upon us, and our generation still, you'll even hear our people of my generation say, well, those were the good old days.
Yeah.
We'll still reflect back, those are the good old days, and oh my goodness, these young people, I know this technology's great, but they're missing out on, you know, one-on-one communication, sitting down and talking, eyeball to eyeball, handshakes, you know. So I think we're reminiscing about it, and millennials are like, well, what other way is it?
Right.
You know, how many millennials do you know that even have a landline?
Oh, zero.
Yeah, and they're so used to it. And I see moms strolling kids in the neighborhood, and the two-year-old is playing games on her iPhone or the child's own iPad, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's increasingly normal.
Yeah, they just know how to do it. And the thing that I think is fascinating about it, though, is that baby boomers are relying more on the younger generations to help us with it. And I find the younger generations pretty willing to help. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, you spend an hour with me on Uber, you know?
That's true.
And maybe it's because I'm your mama.
Yeah, there is that. But yeah, why are millennials more giving of their time?
Because millennials are communitarians. They are all about community, all about teamwork, and they like to work as a group. So when someone asks them for their help, they go, yeah, I'll help you, because they expect everybody to help them.
So it almost seems too fortuitous that you have a generation that was able to teach itself emerging technology, and now a generation that's willing to teach other people the technological landscape. Is that just too good to be true? Is it just that it's just sort of the confluence of generations and progress coming together, and this is just kind of how it would work? I mean, it's just kind of a fascinating thing that it sort of emerged in this sort of landscape where one helps the other, and then the one in the middle was able to just adapt seamlessly.
I don't know. But I think one thing I've noticed is their generational differences, and I'm seeing a lot of generational similarities also, or maybe not similarities. What am I trying to say? Oh, different generations I see today are kind of curious about the other generations. Your generation's maybe not as curious as millennials are or baby boomers are about the others, but I mean, this is the first time I remember in history that all of the generations will listen to the same music.
Yeah, and I do think that it just seems like a less pronounced difference.
Yeah.
That people seem a lot, there are a lot more similarities and a lot more interaction.
Yeah, and people, I even notice about fashion, baby boomers, I mean, they're not wearing the short shorts today with the heels that, you know, the millennials might like, but even the baby boomers they're wearing fashion similar to the other generations, where I can remember my mother and her friends dressed totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the white gloves and the hat and the handbag and the shoes that matched, where, you know what I'm saying? There was even a difference.
Well, but again, that brings it back to the technology thing and how shareable things are, and how maybe that is a democratization of generational differences, because on some level you can see what's going on over there. You can get a window into what's going on over there. It's no longer a mystery as to you know, that old adage of what the kids are up to or what the kids are into these days. I mean, you can see it. It's all over social media. It's all over whatever.
So things are just more transparent.
I think so.
I think that's
what technology has done, is you're able to relate, not on a deep level, but on just a cursory level, because you have these sort of windows into it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. It's more visible and transparent, and it's not as things are so attainable now.
Right.
And it's across all the generations. Yeah, I think you're right on that. I mean, it doesn't scare me the way things are going. You know, I'm like, I like that that we can find out and see what's going on and all that. I mean, I'm still scared to figure out how to get my new Uber app. You know, I'm still scared about that, and I'm probably gonna be calling you about that. And before we hang up, can you go over one more time how to get Pops Fitbit to record his sleep? Can you go over that one more time?
Zelda towns. I didn't get it when he said it, but I felt it now. And if they melted down the guns, I wouldn't be afraid. The samurai fight in the streets like Bushido Blade. I prefer games to movies, some even. I can listen to Neil Young and Sufjan Stevens.
This is the edge of us eternal living.
It's like damn, him and Dave collab. I'm on a plane when it lands, I'ma take a cab. I never listen to the Kinks or the Beta Band and punch bowls. I think about drinking with a ladle hand. I split my only pair of pants at soundcheck. Out of town, luckily nobody was around yet. I went to Target with my thighs and my privates out. Nobody even noticed, made them focus on my eyes and mouth. A unique personal embarrassment. I wonder if it's better to have somebody to share it with. Probably not. Please define polyglot. My favorite Jay Electronica song is Trolley Stop.
In a little while from now, if I'm not feeling it,